It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Look at Radek. He dropped the gloves with Rivers. The referee or the linesman should jump in here. You can't let a guy like Rivers continue to throw punches.
Federico stolen from Reinhart. Breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting. Rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Chevalier. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it. Head to head. And Joseph with three great right.
To Turgeon, Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores! Brett Hall, number 500.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans. Welcome to this Thursday edition of your Blues NHL podcast. It is opening day in St. Louis for the Blues, and typically, when this show gets rolling with all the emotion that surrounds it, I usually turn it right over to the talent. But that talent usually begins right to my right with Mr. Rivers. I almost feel like we should just let Kimby roll this morning because he's ready to roll, I think. What do you think, Jamie?
Kimby's got to come out of here. He's got to be leadoff hitter today. I mean, oh, my God.
He's got something to say.
I've never seen so many keyboard tough guys in my life. Hey, it's like they let their fingers cause themselves a lot of problems.
You know what? Last night was I got fired up on the dunk.
No.
I hate stupidness. And you know what? Sometimes I'm stupid. I hate myself for that. But I hate stupidness. And people that they fucking go play beer league hockey, God bless you, because you love the fucking game of hockey. But you have no fucking clue what is going on out there. And you can report on the fucking Blues, and you have no fucking idea what's going on out there. To make an open ice fucking hit, whether you disagree with me or not, or if we disagree, I'm fine with that. I thought it was a clean hit. That's what I thought. People are sitting there, he went for the fucking hit. When you're going 30 fucking mile an hour, you don't know if you're going for the fucking head or the body. I promise you that. I watched Jeremy fucking Roenick, who I admired how he played the game of hockey. I really did. JR would fly around because he didn't care about his fucking body, and he would go after it. If I tried to do that, fucking God bless, who knows where the fuck. I would end up in the ninth row of the fucking stadium because it is so hard to hit a guy. So the Wilson guy, what he does, that is hard. You know, you're coming in to hit a guy, and I'll use an example of that. Brian fucking Marchment used to go around. All Samuelson used to go around. They would take guys' fucking knees out because they couldn't hit the guy like that. They would go to hit him. They had all intentions of hitting the guy, right? But the guy would move a fucking fraction of an inch, and he would blow his fucking knee out. And I played with Cam Neely. And I watched that man go through what he had to go through on a blown knee. He wanted to play the game so fucking bad, but this guy fucked his career up. So what Wilson did, all he did was come through, and he's coming through. Sundquist puts his fucking head down. Let's get that straight right now. He puts it down, and he gets cold cocked. And I feel sorry for the kid. I hope he's not hurt. I hope everything's fine with him. But the NHLPA, or not PA, the Players Safety Committee comes out. They make a fucking ruling of 20 games. They don't give a fuck about Mr. Sundquist. They'll never talk about the man again in his life. So don't fucking sit here and tell me that you're doing. Gary Bettman got pissed off because he's promoting a game. God bless you, Gary. Keep going. I'm not even fucking arguing the point that the game's changed. I understand all that. But if you don't want a guy to fucking hit a guy in the ice, then fucking put the rule in there. Don't hit a guy in the ice. Because that's all he did. He come through. There was no ill will intentions. I don't care if it's exhibition or not. Mr. Wilson put a fucking Stanley Cup ring on his fucking finger last night because of the way he plays the game of hockey. And the reason he plays it that way, the Washington Capitals love the way that he plays the game of hockey. And the St. Louis Blues fans had that motherfucker sitting on their team. They would love every fucking minute of him because the guy comes and does his job. And last night you watched Marchand, who I don't really give a fuck how he plays. You know, the kid competes. He has to go stand up to some fucking European guy celebrating a seventh fucking goal of a game. And so he goes up and stands up, and he gets shit on this. Where's the balls of this fucking world? Are we all a bunch of candy-ass motherfuckers that we can't watch how this game's played anymore? It is just like if a guy does something just out of the ordinary that doesn't fit in with these fucking guys around here that get on Twitter with all these big balls and or And the guy on the thing, Jeff Jones, so he was commentating on, he come back, and he's in this new era, and God bless you, and I'm not going against him. And I asked the man, how do you fucking deliver a hit? And he gave me this fucking analytic fucking process to come down, and I'm going, get the fuck out of here, man. Do you know, if you're skating down the ice, Chromes, and you're going to hit a fucking guy, if he moves 1 inch, your reaction is to try to move that inch with him. If he moves that fucking, it is so hard to do that. He did not go to label the guy's fucking head. That's the way that Mr. Wilson plays the game a certain way. The Washington Capitol owners, or Barry Trotz when he fucking had him, loved the way he played the fucking game. That's what he did. So he would go out. So they're playing Vegas last year. Remember in the finals? So when he goes out and he hits one of the superstars there.
Yeah, he hit Marchessault, yeah. I believe.
So he hits the top player. So for the next little while, the Vegas guys are all thinking about, what are we going to do? So he has just done his job. So now Mr. Ovechkin and all these other guys, they don't give a fuck that he hit him. They know that he's going to hit him. So they're still playing the game. Well, Vegas is still trying to chase this son of a bitch around. And that's the idea of that guy's role. That's what he does. So has he done some stupid shit in the past? Yes, he has. But on this incident, he's coming through. Sundquist buries his fucking head to take a shot. That's what he did. He come through the middle of the ice, which is probably the biggest no-no in the world. And then you try to relate this stuff to, like, Scottie Stevens, who was one of the best players in the fucking world at that position that he played.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah. And he would come through.
Couldn't play today.
Eric Lindros, nope. And these guys, he fucking lit these guys up. Ty Domi, he lit him up. But he did it on, it wasn't matter who you were. He wasn't trying to fucking take someone's head out and make sure they could never think again. He was playing the game the way the game was meant to be played. So now we've changed it. I agree.
Yeah.
But Wilson coming through there, his mentality and his whole fucking lifestyle has always been, this is my job. And that's all he was doing. And it was just it's unfortunate that Sundquist got hurt. But I'll reiterate that to you. When I left the fucking NHL, they don't ever fucking call me in 30 years. They don't give a fuck about Darren Kimball. They don't care about Mr. Sundquist. They don't give a fuck about him. And that's a fact.
Man.
Yeah, okay. So seriously, you're 100%
right. I'm sorry
for
the fucking F word all the time.
No, fuck that. You're on a fucking roll, okay?
Jesus.
No, but seriously, here's the thing. People talk about, it's a preseason game. Okay, you know what? This is the player that you are. This is what you've become throughout your whole life. As you're going for this guy for the hit, as you're getting closer, Tom Wilson is not thinking, okay, this is the second period of the last preseason game. Maybe I should not hit this guy. He's thinking a couple things. One, this is my job. Two, which I haven't heard yet anywhere else, is how about the stress this guy's under? He signed a big contract, $5 million a year, yeah. Right? And now if he doesn't hit that guy, people can go, well, why the fuck did we sign this guy then? He's not doing his job. Oh, he got his money. He's done playing that way.
Yeah.
So he's really, Wilson is screwed mm-hmm. in this situation. And so I feel bad for him for that. Now, to go back to this whole suspension thing, we discussed the hit, I believe, on Monday.
Yes.
And I feel, because of where we're at, I feel that it was a 7-game suspension. Now, do I think it was a great hit? Yes. Do I think that it would have been even a penalty back in our day? No, not at all. So, but time has changed, right? Like you
correct,
mentioned.
Correct.
And Kimby is very honest about that. He realized that. He's okay with that. But 20 games is absurd. It's absurd. You can leave the bench and start a bench brawl, and you get 10 games. 20 games is absurd. So I don't know what the NHL is trying to do here. In my opinion, I think it's compensation for them fumbling the ball on the Max Domi thing. Mm-hmm. Because everybody made fun of, he gets the rest of preseason.
Yeah.
So he gets a vacation, basically. So now George Parros and all those guys sitting there go, shit, maybe we screwed that one up. We better make sure our next one's better, right? And so then Tom Wilson says, here you go, guys. I'll help you out. Here's a good hit. Bam. And I'm a repeat offender, which we know that works. Yep. Just like in the court of law, repeat offenders get shit on. And so Tom Wilson makes the hit. I'm looking at people right away are blowing up my phone. 10 games minimum. And I thought to myself, repeat offender, pretty big hit, 7 games. That's what I thought. Mm. 20 fucking games for
a man doing his job.
A legal hit. Now, I know people say, had a contact, this and that and the other. But like you said, what they don't understand is this game happens so fast.
Yes.
It's so fast that you cannot change your course of direction once you are committed to that hit. Like you said, maybe an inch mm-hmm. or so. But when you watch Wilson come through here, he literally just plows through Sundqvist. He doesn't throw his elbow up. I mean, quite honestly, he doesn't even launch himself.
Nope.
He bends his knees, gets low, and he, like, just his body mass alone just wipes him out. And we feel bad for Sundqvist. And I think the problem that we're having here is that majority of the people who listen to our show are Blues fans.
Yeah.
So they're like, holy shit, it's one of our guys. It's one of our guys. And how dare they speak, you know, ill about one of our guys? We're not. Our job, in life, we're honest. Yep. We try to tell it like it is. And our job on this show is to certainly tell it like it is so that there's no bullshit between what we think and what you're hearing. So this is tough for us because we do care about the Blues. In fact, two guys in this room that played for the Blues gave it all. Bled for the team, laid on the ice, hurt, drugged their broken ass to the fucking bench, end up whatever it took to represent the Blue Note the right way. So if anybody cares about Blue Note players, it's us. And two other guys in this room right now have been fans forever. So this show is definitely pro-Blues. However, if we're being honest, Sundqvist came through the middle, put his head down, the puck had just been released, Tom Wilson cleaned his clock. It's a suspendable offense in today's game, but 20 games is outrageous.
In the olden days, when this shit was going on, when you pass the puck off or shoot the puck, guys would come in fucking 5 seconds later and drill
100%. Look at Scott Stevens on Paul Kariya.
Yeah.
Look at Michael Pekka. If anybody at home wants to YouTube Michael Pekka hit on Steve Martins from Ottawa. It's like 4 seconds late, and he knocks the shit out of him, and not a penalty.
I shared the court, and I'll hit on Roenick.
Yeah, and this right here, what happened was, when he goes, and I'm not going to say what happened, because everyone's going to have their own opinion of watching it, but he goes to shoot the puck, and it's within a fucking second. It's probably even a half a second, he gets corked. And I feel sorry for the kid. And I'll promise you, if I sat in the fucking room when Mr. George Parros made this, he didn't make the call anyway, so let's get that straight. He's got the title. But because himself lived the fucking lifestyle of where he had to get to, and if he couldn't have fought, they wouldn't even know who fucking George Parros is. Let's get that straight too. So if that's going on, he's making the decision, but he's getting pressure because the league's changed, and that's good. I'm okay with that. But then put in the rule book: if you stick your head down and you get hit, the guy that hits him is going to get suspended. Just put it in there. Then everyone understands what's going on, because what that man did was about as innocent as it could be, although he's got a bad record. He come through there, and I've seen that a million times, and unfortunately the guy gets hit. But like I said, the league don't really give a fuck about that guy. Let's get that straight right now.
You know, the thing is, when it comes to your back and forth with the fans, I think you brought it up, God bless everybody. I mean, again, two of the guys in this room played real hockey. One guy played some pretty good hockey. One guy played beer league hockey. But this guy over here, Tommy Brown Tax Planning and Resolutions, back for another season on Blues NHL Podcast. Tommy, you coach college hockey. You played junior hockey. And at one time, you had aspirations to coach at a high level. Ref at a high level.
Correct. Yep.
I think the disconnect is like with any professional sport and fans and their passion, and that's the speed.
Right, and what I'm hearing these guys say, I'm totally in agreement, but there's one thing that I seen in the play, and I only got to watch it one time. I caught it on TV last night watching the Capitals game. So what I seen was a guy back-checking and then go hit the guy, where I hear you guys thinking that he may have had the hit in his mind already. I didn't see that, so I'm thinking he's coming back-checking hard, and Sundqvist moves into the zone where then he hits him, and he just skates through him.
Correct.
I didn't see an elbow up. I didn't see anything. He just skated through him. So to me, the hit was fine. Yeah, all right. So Sundqvist goes down. But like I said, I only got to see it once, but the speed to me came. He was just coming back for a back check, and the guy was there.
Well, that's kind of, I mean, the whole play in its entirety is there's a turnover at the Blues blue line. So Washington, I'm not sure if it's Wilson or not, somebody turns the puck over, Blues transition up to Sundqvist, and they're headed back the other way, and they've got numbers. It's a 3-on-2. So now it's a scoring opportunity. So Wilson's coming back hard, possibly because he's the guy who turned the puck over. I don't know, but he's coming back hard on the back check, And as Sundquist cuts in, he literally cuts in almost to where he's headed. Now, Wilson does change his course to take him or to hit him. But if he lets him go and that ends up in the back of the net, like, then what are we doing here?
And it changes his course, though, but who knows what their back checking scheme? Who knows if the back checker is going to where the puck is?
Well, the back checker automatically has to go back to the middle of the ice. We know right? But where did that hit happen?
But is that
middle
that,
of the ice.
Is Sundquist coming across the middle? I'm pretty sure at some point that defenseman has to take his rights over. And as he's coming back through the middle, it's not really his man, but so he changes course because he's going in that direction. Does he know he's going to hit the guy probably about 2 seconds before? I think he does. I'm not even arguing that point. But he hit him clean because the guy's head was up his ass.
I think, too, another disconnect is this. I think some fans, to your point, not in a bad way, you know, they see the blue note laying on the ice bleeding all over
the place. I think that's the biggest problem.
You know, and the thing is, and then I think people took it as you, because you had to say this out loud. I think people took it as, well, because our guy had his head down, then you're not going to defend him. No, you said as much. We defended for a lot less back in the day because of that very reason. It still doesn't change the fact that you or a Jamie or God knows who would have pulled the guy aside at some juncture and said, I hope, you know, hey, listen, I'm just here to help you out. You cannot cut through the middle like that with your head down. You just can't do it.
You would have went in the locker room, and I don't know. It's a different game right now, and it's it depends what your locker room's like. But locker rooms that I sat in, you would have went in there, you would have felt bad for the kid, because especially if he's going to get, you know, I don't know where to. I seen him pictures of him after where he's at a party, not a party, but a function, and you know, I don't know what the kid's doing. Jamie's closer to the situation than I am. I don't know if he's all right, if he's still got headache. You don't wish that on it, but I'll guarantee you, I got Hall of Famers that I sat on that friggin' bench with that would have come through there and said, that's on you, man, because you fucking stuck your head up your ass. You know, not beating him, but that's what he did. He come through there, and that's what he did. I have a bigger problem. If that hit there, I don't got any problem with that. I really don't. With all this concussion shit going on, that's where this thing starts stemming from the higher up ranks, because they want to, you know, show that they're doing something towards this. My biggest thing, and when I coach a 14-year-old hockey team, what I do, and I don't tell them to go fucking hit people like that. Not a chance in hell. And I really, for the biggest thing to me is, I hate when they hit from someone from behind. And my kid's done it too. And I'll grab them. I say, we don't play that way, man. Because that's how someone really gets hurt, when you're hitting them from behind. That's where I thought the NHL was going and they were getting to this. Now they're starting to. So you've got to that point, which was great, because you don't want people getting hit from behind. But now we're creeping into another area where they want to stick their nose for some reason. And what if one of the superstars comes, and there's not many Jeremy Roenicks around now that are your 50 goal scorers and that are going to hit like that. But what if one of the superstars? It's a different fucking ball game. Well, he might get his six games.
Alex Ovechkin is a guy who runs around and hits guys. What if that was him that took out Sundquist?
There's no 20 games coming.
And let's really get crazy. Let's play fucking pretend here. Let's pretend that Sundquist was the guy who hit Wilson.
Wouldn't have been a goddamn thing happen.
Now what?
Yeah.
Okay, one, the NHL probably does nothing. But two, Blues Nation, then what?
Yeah, oh.
For sure.
But what? Then we would be reposting this hit all over Twitter and the internet going, wow, you know, look at the hit, Blues, Black and Blues hockey.
And that was the only thing last night. That's where I started to get it. I just don't, when people commentate on the game and have your beliefs, I'm fine with all that. But don't sit there and tell me that the guy's doing this and he knew where he was going to hit the guy. He knew how to – no, he did not know that. This game happened so damn fast. And when you're coming in to hit, if Sundquist even moved an inch, Wilson might have moved a little bit with him, and then maybe his knee goes out and maybe blows his goddamn knee out or something. But he – you know, that is one of the hardest things. I don't care who – I watched this game. I watched a guy named Rich Pilon, who I played junior against. That son of a bitch would line me up in practice. We'd fight, for Christ's sake, because I'd get – but it was my fault because my head was down. But he come, and you become a better hockey player when that son of a bitch was practicing with you, because if you put your head down, he says, okay. And he was my teammate. He goes, okay, we line you up now, and we're going to lay you out. And pretty soon you learn how to play the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't want anyone to get hurt, but I got my ass handed to me many a times. And – it's on you, man. It's on you.
I think where we're at here, and I kind of touched on this on Monday, is it's so difficult, right? Because, like, and I told you, I said, I will not comment on this on Twitter. And I haven't.
Yeah.
I haven't.
I shouldn't have either, obviously.
No, but but here's my point. And I said this the other day. We live in a world right now that it's like black or white.
Correct.
There's no way anybody's allowed to agree together that maybe it's somewhere in the middle. Yeah. And we look at all these things around us and things I don't speak about ever are politics and religion and controversial hits. Reason being is because this world is so jacked up right now that if you believe one thing, well, you're almost insane in your belief that there's no way it could be the other side of it. Yeah. And the other side of it, though, those other people with this hit, some will claim it's clean, some will claim he should be banned for life. And not many are willing to say, okay, you know what? It was kind of a bit of a both here. 7-8 games is great. Yeah. That's good. Nope. Uh-uh. You write something that, oh, I think this is a good hit and whatever. Oh, here comes the opposition from the North Pole. Yeah. You know, that far away that says, oh, he should be 30, 40 games. Look at what happened to Rafi Torres. It's insanity right now. Nobody can bring it together for an educated response. It's all their stance versus your stance.
And my thing last night where I started it was that, and this is the last thing I say about it, but I started it and I said, I just disagreed with the fucking suspension. I thought it was a clean hit. And then all of a sudden, I'm a dumb motherfucker from Lucky Lake, Saskatchewan now, and I get pulled that. I call a guy a chicken shit. I call, you know, and I go through the process. So now I'm on Twitter playing Twitter fucking tough guy with a bunch of morons. You know, that's what I was fucking doing.
And invite them all down here. Jeff Jones, come on down.
I wasn't calling anyone an asshole. I was having a fair argument. And if I go listen to someone else's conversation, I have the right to disagree with your conversation. But the reason I commented on this one is like if someone was talking about fucking snowboarding or something, and if I entered the fucking conversation, I'm an idiot because I don't know about snowboarding. Sorry, I had never fucking done it. But if I'm talking about hockey, a game I played and I've watched it, and I understand where the game's gone. It's not I'm not being ignorant to that, and I don't mind that. I don't like you know what? And you watch on when I was on Twitter, there was a couple guys that come in here, and one guy, Jeff Rogers, comes in there and he says, "Oh, I just come in from." Feeding the cows or whatever, and he says,
I saw
the 20-game suspension. He says, so now I'll turn to baseball. And that's how some of us guys that played the game, like Audie played the game the same way I played the game, and you got Jim Kite on there and these guys, it's just we played the game a certain way, and now it's changed, and we all understand that. It's not that we don't understand that, but we're not fucking idiots because we don't agree with you. That's one thing we're not.
You mean the three times that you drunk snowboarded over at Hidden Valley doesn't qualify you to give?
No.
I can't believe they found a snowboard for him. Holy shit.
No, it's, you know what? You can relate this to every sport. I have this conversation on the Cardinal show.
Don't bring up fucking baseball.
Well, it's true.
Right now. No.
Carpenter, why didn't he swing at that 89-mile-an-hour slider in the .1 second?
But you got Benji Molina to talk baseball with. Holy crap.
And you know what the scary thing is, two chromes in this thing, when you run down this road? You got guys that are local guys that, in order to get their where they're at, they can't say what they want to fucking say. They can't say how the game was played. Guys that are being commentators or whatever, they got to say what the fucking league wants them to say, or they'll fucking pay the price. So, because they're going to get out of their kiss-ass mentality. And that's how they got to that fucking spot, because they're a kiss-ass. So, there you go. And if you can't fucking agree with that, they're not giving you their true opinion. Some guys might, but I guarantee they're not all.
No, but it's so dangerous, right? And that goes right back to my comment, is if you give your real opinion, it's almost like you're into a fight immediately because somebody's going to be, like, completely oppositional.
Correct.
And it's surrounding all those hot topics that I brought up these days. And we all know what's going on in the world.
But
especially with this hockey thing, 20 games, bottom line here, we'll wrap it up because I know we've been 25. And I'll fucking go as long as I want, Cromer. Don't me, okay? Fuck, Oh, he wants to talk more baseball.
No.
Jesus Christ. Matt Carpenter.
No, I was going to talk about how ahead of the game
here.
You were the salsa. Other day. There. Yeah, the salsa
enough
didn't
of the
work.
Salsa.
Salsa didn't work. Tarasenko needs to throw that shit out that they gave him.
I don't know. It looks like he's been eating a lot of it.
That's what I thought.
But
shit. Twitter alert.
No, he looks great, actually.
First Twitter alert.
Just to wrap it up, is NHL went for shock value with 20 games.
Yeah.
Truthfully, I think the NHLPA and the player will file a grievance on
Hopefully.
They should. 20 games is absurd. They'll file a grievance on that. They'll go to an arbitrator. They'll have their little hearing, whatever. I think it'll hover back around 10 games. So, I mean, Dennis Weidman got 20 games for hitting a linesman from behind head first into the boards, and it got... got cut to 10.
Has the Players Association, and I'm not followed, have they even come out and fucking said anything yet?
No, they haven't said a word yet. I think they're letting the dust settle. I mean, either way, he's looking at probably 10 games. So they probably figure we're no rush to come back and look like we're panicking or, you know. Yeah. So my thoughts are that they'll wait a little bit, come back with an organized plan, ask him to cut the sentence in half, 10 games, time served, back in the lineup. That's what my prediction is. And I think that if that's the case, then they will have gotten it right.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, my friend, as we head into a new blue season with our good friend Randy Green and Innovative Companies, one of his great companies that you can count on is the construction team. And, of course, as usual, Jamie Rivers, ahead of the curve, brings up the way the St. Louis Blues may construct their roster. Dead on with the fourth line. It sure looks like we're going to give them a different look from a fourth line this year. I don't think Blues fans thought they'd see this day. This is different. This is a different look. I mean, it wasn't an hour after we finished the show up on Monday. Coach Henson had sent me a text. Did you see the Blues had put Yaskin and Thornburg on waivers? So, you know, you were on to something. I don't know if you had a little back knowledge or if this was again, we're back to the construction part from our good friend Randy over at Innovative Companies. And the truth of the matter is this, you know, the talent that they had might lend itself to this being the best way to construct their roster.
Well, yeah, you know, we touched on Monday. If you look at your roster on the dry erase board and you see who you've got, then to me, logically, it was we don't have the players or the pieces to play that big, heavy game that we once played when we had Browers and Backes and Reeves and all those guys, Brodziaks and that. We don't have those players. So trying to take players who aren't used to that and make them play those roles doesn't make any sense. So when I looked at what we had currently and what's made the team out of training camp, I thought our fourth line should have a very different look this year. Our fourth line should be built off of youth, speed, puck possession, ability, skating, all these things. And that throws other teams into an interesting situation. And we touched on it Monday is they now have to throw their fourth line out there with usually they have some energy guys or some bigger guys and maybe not the best puck handlers, but great physically. And now you're risking skill versus that. And we had this when I was with the Detroit Red Wings was our fourth line, whoever was on the fourth line that night played a lot and other teams couldn't play their less players. So the other teams had to chop it down to three lines and sometimes even less in order to compete with us. And they got tired out throughout the course of a game. You're able to run those four lines with that high tempo, high speed. It wears teams down. So I'm a big fan of what they're doing right now simply because they don't have the horses to go the other way. They don't have the Reeves. They don't have the Thorburn, great guy. Doesn't quite fit in the way Reeves did. But they don't have those type of guys to put a fourth line together like, wow, that's going to be our physical group. So if you don't have that, go the other way. We have tons of young talent with speed. Let's use them.
I totally agree with what Jamie's saying. They're going to get tested tonight because the team that's coming in here to play them is a totally different fucking animal because they're big and they play a physical game. So you're going to see that's going to be a good test for the Blues coming out of the gate. The thing that where I sort of go with Riz and he when he goes to save Detroit, but in Detroit you also had Draper and fucking Maltby running on your third or fourth line down there, which were difference makers because they were good hockey players for the, you know, they played at a high level. I agree with them, but they fucking ran guys and they caused a lot of shit. They were sort of like the Bobby Bassin, you know, guys.
Well, yeah, they were 50 goal scorers in junior hockey and in the American Hockey League. Okay, yeah. Those guys. So that's what gets lost is when they went to Detroit, they got put into a role of the grind line
for sure.
And they accepted that role just because they weren't as good as Yzerman, Shanahan. Yeah. I mean, go down the line, right? Yeah. We already know who's there. So you look at them, you're like, oh, yeah, they ran around. They did, but they could also control the puck for a minute and a half on you and not let you play, you know, play keep away. And they could score goals. But Draper had 30 goals in the NHL.
But no, I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying, though, but what they did for the Detroit Red Wings was they were a line of difference makers because – They ran around and they hit guys a lot and they caused a lot of shit. I'm not disagreeing with it. They're good hockey players because they did score big goals for them, but they also brought an element to help that team because that team didn't have a lot of that. They had all superstars rolling down there, and they played. But that there was a little sort of
They did
this little piss and vinegar going running around too. You know.
But once we lost Kosher, once we lost McCarty, the lines kind of got split up. Draper ended up playing with Iserman and I forget who else. And then Maltby ended up on the wing and Shanahan on the other side. And we went to four skilled lines.
Yeah.
And at that point there was right before they won their last cup. And it was like they changed it. So, yes, they had the grind line that had speed and they could score. And they brought an element with McCarty and Kosher on that line that could kick the shit out of you.
Yeah.
But then once they lost those guys, they went to like an all-skill lineup. And teams had a hard time keeping pace with that lineup.
You know, Butter, I'm going to bring you back in on the fan side of this. You and I have been going to games for years, sneaking beer in before we were 21. The truth of the matter is, this is really the first time I can remember not having that, oh, we got a big tough guy, and we got this guy that can't score any goals, and this guy can do this down on the fourth line, and you kind of treated it like it was. As a fan, are you accepting of this change? Or do you like it? Do you like, well, I'm going to wait and see? Or, I mean, what do you think?
I don't have a problem with it at all. I mean, when the rules changed back in 2005, when we had the lockout or strike, I can't remember which one it was, but when that changed and we changed the way the rink was built, we took fighting out of the game. We took the hard hits out of the game because the end zones are so much bigger. There's a lot more room. So it opened up to where even your fighting guys, your hard-hitting guys, they had to have skill. So we've taken that out. So like Riv said,
same thing.
I answered both.
We put more of a speed game together. We got in, you know, let's see what it does.
Here's the part though too. Here's what gets a little crazy and the way it looks right now is it what they had designed to do it? Because you got some guys sitting on IR here. They're sitting there's got four or five guys, don't they, on the IR list that. When these guys come off, aren't there some one-way contracts coming off that table too?
Yeah, well, what do they got? Fabry on the IR right now. Yeah.
Got the kid. There's some defensemen in there too, but
obviously Sundqvist.
Yeah.
On the IR, Gunnarsson on the back end.
The new kid they just traded for from Edmonton.
He's a work visa guy, yeah. Which I still don't see him being like. I still think he's headed to San Antonio.
All I'm saying is, though, that some guys are coming off this IR, so now there's more decisions got to be made.
Well, if you look at the Blues lineup up front, and if you take Fabry off of IR and you put him into this lineup, still you're going to have four lines of skill.
Oh, for sure.
You'll end up with a Barbashev, Thomas, Blais, and Kyrou, maybe a rotation of those four guys that won every four games they sit out because Fabry's back in the lineup.
As you're looking at those lines, since you've got them up, let me ask you this.
Don't look over and cheat.
What do you think, and what did you see that would have led to, I mean, let's face it, one guy was going to get the shot on that second line versus playing on the fourth line. And again, obviously we want to go to the experts on this. Why Kyrou? Why not Thomas? Because they said Thomas could play wing. Is it because they really needed him to center the fourth line, or...
No,
Sandy Blais obviously had done really well in the preseason too. Why Kyrou? I mean, did he impress the most in your opinion?
I don't say he impressed the most. I think he was a great pleasant surprise. I think that they thought he's a hell of a hockey player, but he'll have to play in San Antonio to start. Came to camp, went above and beyond. He's a right-hand shot, fits in nicely on that line. Thomas is a right-hand shot, but he's a true centerman. So, do you really want this kid to learn the ropes as a guy who's out of his position on the second line? I wouldn't do that. Let him get his feet wet. Let him get a taste of the NHL. Let him see what's going on. Then you can kind of roam him around the lineup when time comes for that. And Sammy Blais is a left-handed shot. He plays the right wing. He can play the left wing. But for me, I just thought that this is a great fit. Kyrou's good, fast, his speed, the way he plays the game with Shannon and Schwartz is great. And then Sammy Blais with his speed and Thomas, and then Barbashev, who's a little bit of that Swiss Army knife. He can play center. He can play wing. He's pretty responsible defensively. You could easily say that that line of Thomas, Blais, and Barbashev is a third line on other teams.
I'm the thing that I like about the lineup, you know, where you get the Riley and Maroon get in there at the top, obviously, but the third line is the line that I really like. And, because Steen's where he belongs down there. That's where he should be at. Bozak's sitting there. It's just he's got someone to play with. I think it brings you another element that It's not. I think last year was our four. We had two four lines playing basically at the bottom
true.
End.
Yeah.
So I think now you're running three. And you got the young kids that are running around and going to learn the game and go through the process. But I think that you got a lot of experience sitting there on that third line now. Or if you and it's hard to say call them third lines because you should never do that because you never know what's going to malfunction in a game. But it's they got three good lines at the top and then they got the young kids coming in there that are you know they got. They'll do all right with what they need to do.
And don't kid yourself. They may take one of these guys throughout the game and say, okay, we're going to rotate you in with Kyrou on that second line. Yeah. So that the first period, Kyrou's going to play with Shannon Schwartz. The second period, we're going to put Blay up there. Kyrou drops to the fourth line.
Almost like an audition?
Well, no, just you're letting them get their feet wet properly.
Oh, okay.
Without throwing them into the fire, they get, you know, four or five shifts with that.
It's tricky, though, Riz, doesn't it?
No, I don't think it does.
It does for a guy that's been there 6 or 7 years, and you start messing with his line there. He starts getting a little worried about that.
You know what? At the end of the fucking day, Kimby, shut the fuck up and play and do your job.
Yeah,
that's it.
But you sat in the same fucking locker room I sat in, and if someone was coming to take your ice time.
Well, yeah, but what I'm talking about is young guys being switched out for young guys.
It's great for a coaching process, and it's great for fans to see what's going to go on. I'm just saying the guy that's sitting there going to get his ass yanked down and say, hey, you're going to go play here for a while. That's never a good sign for a player.
Well, then it's
the
coach's job to communicate it properly.
Yeah, that there.
But honestly, I'd say, look, we've got four of you young guys in the lineup. We're going to rotate you in and out of different lines. Like, holy shit, maybe Sammy Blay takes a shift on left wing and Maroon because he just had a penalty or he just finished a power play. Like, there's ways to find ice time for these young guys.
I'm just saying, I know guys that were playing in the second line, and when they were playing with Ron Wilson and Darren Kimball, they weren't sitting on the bench with a big fucking smile on their face.
No, but they also weren't. They also weren't 19-year-olds who were just new to the league.
No, that's not who I was saying, though. I'm saying you got a guy up there you're going to insert that guy into. If you're going to the young guy, I get it, but if you're going to a Swartz, say he's not having a good game and he gets in, how do they take that?
Play better.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with you.
I'm just telling you, like, as a coach, I can't look at it as a player anymore because I'm washed up. I'm not a player. So I have to look at it as a coach or an analyst. And if I'm looking at it from that side of things, this makes sense.
I know.
You know, again, as it's go time now. What do you expect? I mean, this town, ready to go. I think they're on board. They love the changes in the offseason. I think as a Blues fan,
well, they love them, but we haven't played a game yet.
Well, second year in a row, though, I think the Blues fans would have to admit that they feel like Doug Armstrong was able to do a couple of things that we didn't think he could do, to be quite frank. You know, the trade last year was one that, I mean, I think people were like, wow, I can't believe we got Braden. And we talked about the first-round draft picks everybody forgets about. But the fact of the matter is the on-ice
product. Let's talk about Yuri Laterra for a minute.
Oh, yeah, well, I knew this.
Hey, I mean, we're talking about that trade. I mean, I think it's high time we talk about Yuri Laterra
here. High time? I see what you did there.
Now?
Yeah, I see what you did for? There.
I tell
the
you,
High Time magazine.
He's working for Tony Montana. I can Philly. Kimby, did you see that shit?
He's so supposedly the money guy, though, right?
I don't know what.
I'll tell you what. Tony Montana made a lot of fucking money, though.
He did.
I watched that show a million times.
I'm telling you what. Maybe hockey's just a hobby for him. It was a way for him to get stuff over here. I don't know. I mean, I know you're innocent until proven guilty, but they arrested 23 people at his cottage or his place.
How does that happen?
Like, that's not an accident, guys.
Yeah, but in realistics now, here, we'll get out of the little beat writer situation. Talk to the man that he played over in Russia, and that there's shit goes on over there that you might sometimes need to fall in line.
Oh, yeah.
Or your fucking right leg might end up in the ocean or something.
Well, he might have somebody he owes a favor to, and they said, we're going to use your house as the cutting house, and we're going to sell everything out of there, and that's what it is. So
different animal over there.
There may be a situation where he's not guilty of actually doing anything wrong
fearing for his life.
Yeah, except for providing
his leg.
Real estate to somebody to peddle their stuff out of. But I mean, some of the comments I've seen on this are incredible. They're like, you know, for a guy who is in this cocaine ring, you think he would have skated a lot faster.
He's obviously not using his own product while he's playing. I mean,
he may want to dabble in his own stash here to pick up his game.
That's just the Blue story that's just going to keep on giving and giving.
Oh my god. The people, I love it because they're talking about, like, you know, isn't it a coincidence that Yuri Laterra gets busted for cocaine ring, and all of a sudden Philly comes out with this gritty mascot looking like he's strung out for weeks. Looking like a crackhead Philly.
They call him Gritty?
Is call him Gritty, yeah.
You know, I haven't even filed. Is Laterra still playing?
Oh, not right now. He's not.
Is he out or not? He's on the roster.
But he
hasn't been punished.
I haven't seen a thing.
Ron Hextall had a whole thing saying that we are cooperating, yada, yada, yada. But until time is where we're notified that he is guilty.
Yeah. And that's the way it should be done, too.
It is.
I got nothing wrong with that.
Well, and the truth is, I know we're laughing here and having a good time, but, I mean, the seriousness of this is... We know for sure, there's been some wild stories come out for these hockey guys that come from Russia. I mean, there's serious shit going on.
Well, he's from, Finland, isn't he?
Yeah, he's Finland, yeah.
Yeah,
Finland.
But didn't he have some stuff?
He played over there, though.
Right, okay.
Yeah, he played over there.
Yeah, yeah, he did.
And that was my point.
Realistically, though, if you're, you can use the game to get away from shit, but you're thinking of going to fucking prison here. If I'm thinking of going to prison, I don't really give a fuck if I'm stepped on that ice right now.
Yeah.
Interesting to see. I bet you this is Jerry Laterra's best year ever.
Running from the law scared so fast.
Scared to death. Scared to death to be somebody's girlfriend over there. And he's going to be playing his balls off so that hopefully they're light on him.
Don't deport me. Please keep me here.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean.
I'll do whatever you need. I'll score five goals.
I just know that, when you talk to Jamie about his Russian stories, the first thing he does is he looks over his shoulder to make sure certain people aren't looking.
Checking your anal cavity for some kind of a bug. You check your car for a GPS. I'm telling you.
It's an amazing. But, yes. No, so.
I don't even know where we started.
Doug Armstrong with the second year in a row.
See, maybe Laterra sold Doug a bad stash. Yeah. Maybe that's what happened.
Twitter alert.
Right?
Another Twitter
maybe
alert.
Maybe that happened.
Jeez Louise.
And Doug said, we can't have any of this anymore. His prices are getting too high.
Oh, my Lord.
Have to send him to the East Coast.
You're going to show up tonight, and there's going to be a from Doug. Jamie, do you mind stepping in?
Oh, my God. I'm just kidding. Yeah. I mean, Army knows
so
that.
So he's able to pull this deal off for O'Reilly.
You can't say deal in Laterra, can you?
Here we go.
Sorry.
Anyway, he does all these upgrades.
So
on the
Cardinals
ice.
Baseball.
We touched on at the alumni game that you guys had with McKendree. We even touched on two things that really, to be quite frank, have went kind of under the table. I mean, let's face it. Pat Maroon took a sweetheart deal to help the St. Louis Blues, and Joel Edmondson also really did the same so that they could get both these guys in there. So Doug Armstrong did a magnificent job of getting this team ready to put on the ice. Now they are on the ice. Blues fans are ecstatic. I know that we talk about it every year. Just go ahead, Jamie, I guess right off the bat, as we head into this season, your expectations.
Well, the expectations are that they make the playoffs. I mean, I think we kind of hit on this on Monday. I think saying Stanley Cup bound is a bit much just because there's so many incredible teams in the Western Conference. I mean, our first game of the season is against a team that arguably is a favorite to get to the Stanley Cup final. We have the Nashvilles in our division. Can't count out the Wild. You never know what you're going to get there. You have the Sharks, who have made some improvements. They get Joe Thornton back, add Erik Karlsson. All of a sudden, they look substantially different.
Goal last night, too?
I know. So, and Vancouver is going to be bottom dwellers, but Calgary and Edmonton, you'll have to expect that they're going to be better. This is tough. So, in my opinion, Blues got to just get into the playoffs and then let their big boys, let their players go to work here. Jake Allen's going to be solid. He's got to do that. He's got to be the number one goalie that we think he can be, not just for our team. He's got to be a number one goalie throughout the league, top five, top six goalies in the league in order to take them over the hump. I think, possibilities are endless. The roster looks good. A couple of guys injured. Right now it sucks. Fabry's not going to start the season on the roster. He's on the IR. Joel Edmondson, he's got an injured groin. He's not playing tonight either. He'll be out. And to my understanding, it's not as serious as some of the other injuries that are going on, but he is out. And it could be a couple of games. So it could be two, three games before we see Eddie get in the lineup. And we know how big he is on that defensive core. And Gunnarsson, who's been a nice, a catch-all for everything. Wherever you need him, you stick him in. He's out until November. So we do have a little bit of a different look right now. We got Chris Butler on opening night roster who will be playing tonight. We got that Mikola guy who's still sitting here. He's like 6'9". So we'll see how it plays out as time goes on and how the injuries work. But I think this is a team that can contend if the stars line up right.
Kimby, what do you expect from them?
I you know what? We talked, I think, last time, I don't know, a week or two ago. But playoffs are definitely there. That's if they don't get to the playoffs, I think that's a big – I think that is sort of a sour note because I think the talent-wise is there. I agree with Rivs that the you know, you're out there in Anaheim's Vegas is going to be – I think Vegas is better than they were last year. San Jose is better than they were last year. Winnipeg's going to be at the top of the up there. Nashville's going to be up there. These guys, it's just it's tough right now in this thing. But they've done their roster is looking a hell of a lot better than it did last year. So I think that's where the excitement is. Then we go back to the old theory about what Riz just went through. So your goaltender's Jake. How does Jake play? That's where it starts at. Is if Jake is playing the way he can, Bouwmeester. What's he going to be like this year? No, where does that come in at? You know, is he going to be the old Bouwmeester, or is it the, you know, the where do we get there? How does this Edmondson, how do these guys come? Because he's a top three defenseman now, so, you know, he's got to put the minutes up. And then how well does he, all these young kids gel with these older guys? And where does Steen fit in? You know, I think his ice time comes down a little bit. Does he accept that, which I think he will? But was that, how do these new players that come in, and are there top dogs now? How do they play? There's a lot of ands. Is there excitement in the air? Of course there is. Do I think they make the playoffs? I think they do. Yes, I do. I just think there's some other teams out there that got some superstars. They've done a lot of shit this summer. There's been some big moves made on this side.
The Butter fan side, like what will be a success? Like what are you looking forward to this year? I mean, like when you look at the team as a fan.
Hoisting the cup, man.
See, there ain't no playoffs. Playoffs.
Well, as of right now, we've got just as good a chance as everybody else to raise it.
Playoffs? Playoffs?
I don't want to talk about playoffs.
It's a Stanley Cup, baby, or bust. But, and that's kind of what I was going, like, you know, again, it's, you just said it. We've got just as good a chance. It's a new season. I think fans are excited about the roster, no doubt about it.
You know what's scary about that whole thing just now?
What's that?
Rivers just talked, and I just talked, and we didn't say one fucking word about the Chicago Blackhawks. Didn't even bring that up.
Well, now you have. You just ruined.
No, but I know what you mean by that. They've been at the top, where the Blues have been trying to get to their up there to pass that mark, because there's always been a rivalry with the Chicago Blackhawks. And the Detroit Red Wings, the Blues, I believe, are above all that now. And,
well, now, you know, hot take here.
Hot take.
Corey Crawford has been cleared. Yeah. So we'll see.
But I think they got some old legs.
We get them Saturday night. Yeah. Those are always tough games.
Yeah.
If those old legs decide that they had a great offseason and they're rested and those horses are ready to go, like look at what Dustin Brown did last year in L.A. and Kopitar and all those guys who were kind of old or aging. They fucking lit it up, right?
Yep.
I don't for one second turn my back on Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane with Corey Crawford in the net.
Yep.
That possibilities are there. Now, I didn't bring him up.
I did.
I know, but I didn't bring him up because I'm tired of fucking talking about him.
I just said, but I in my own, I'm just, I just said it.
I know, but you played there, you're right. So you had to get your little bit in there, right?
But it's not just that. I think where he's going is, you know, you're talking about the best teams. You're not talking about them anymore. No. That's the thing.
The Blues, obviously, they're trying to make the playoffs, but it's not like the Blackhawks are at the top of the pyramid anymore. You know, you're looking way out west here now. You got like San Jose, all these teams out there, Vegas and all these guys.
Yeah.
LA's going to be better than they were last year, I have to think. They can't
the Winnipeg and Nashville, and Winnipeg's be those two teams right there. I know everybody talks about the Sharks because they got Carlson and like, holy shit. Now, what I watched last night from the Sharks was a team that hasn't figured out how to play together yet.
Yep.
And that may take a few games, okay? When you get that many talented guys, the coaching has to be like, how do I use them? What's the best way? Yada, yada, yada. I'm not going to waste your fucking time with that. But that's a hell of a hockey team. LA's going to be better. They've added Kovalchuk. What do his old legs look like?
Yeah.
Looked pretty good in the preseason. He looks pretty jacked on Instagram.
You got a goaltender, too.
Yeah, got a goaltender and Jonathan. So, you know what? They're always kind of in the mix. Anaheim, hell of a performance last night. They look good. Yep. They beat the Sharks. Yep. So now you've got those three teams. You got the Winnipegs and the Nashvilles, who are the thorn in our side.
Yep.
And I just don't want to rule out the Wild. Mm-hmm. You know, they got a team that just seems to keep plugging away. They just keep nipping at your heels like a little fucking rabid chihuahua that won't go away.
Yeah,
you know?
No, I agree.
You just want to kick it, but it comes back and keeps biting. And you kick it again.
Well, you're talking like when
a rabid chihuahua. That's like a movie or something like that. Rabid Chihuahua.
In order to get in the playoffs nowadays, though, you're up in the, you got to be in the 90 points.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a dog race to get up there, and you know, but I just think the excitement here in St. Louis with what they've done with Army, what he pulled off. And I'll always go back to it's gonna rely on Jake at some point in time. He's
always does.
That's where it's gonna go to at some point.
Look at last year, the Capitals started that other guy Grubauer. They're like, oh shit, they might be eliminated first round. Go back to Braden Holtby.
Yep.
The rest is history.
Gonna take a question here from a listener, Josh McCombs. I think this is a good one. With the guys having such a busy offseason on the ice, is it realistic to believe that they've meshed with 6 of 12 starting forwards being to a new team? He also follows up, after you say that, Rivs, he wants your best Chopper story because you were his line mate after all. So let's go with the meshing. Is you just brought up about San Jose. I mean, they're going to have to learn how to play together. We do have quite a few new faces on here. You did run a lot of the off-season stuff, so they kind of got to jump on some of that. But once you start setting lines, it's time to go play together.
Yeah, I mean, they're still going to have some growing pains. I mean, are Maroon, O'Reilly, and Tarasenko, are they a match made in heaven? I don't know. You know, we'll find out.
Yeah.
Is Schwartz, Shen, and Kyrou, we just talked about possibly, you know, maneuvering guys in and out of there. I think it's just like anything else. When you have brand new players, you add, especially when you add high talented players, you know, those guys who are so good, that sometimes takes longer because they're all used to doing it a certain way and being the guy. Right? Like O'Reilly was, it was like him and Eichel in Buffalo. Well, now it's going to be Tarasenko, Maroon, Schwartz, Shen, O'Reilly. Like, he fits in, but where? And I think that that's the biggest thing is if we don't come out of the gate, if for some reason we don't come out of the gate and blow the doors off of them tonight, we don't need to panic. Give it some time. Give it 5-10 games. See where we're at. Let the coaches evaluate. Let the players figure it out. Let the locker room gel together. We'll get a better idea of what we got at that point.
All right, so now I guess we're going to need your best Chopper story.
Oh, God. Chopper. Good old Chopper. Chopper, pretty quiet guy. You know, he really was. A pretty serious player, pretty quiet guy. A funny story about Chopper. I'll tell you a quick funny one and a quick one that was actually pretty horrific. Was we had a charity softball game we used to do for Brendan Shanahan. His father passed away, and we used to do it at SLU University. We used to play against the media members.
I remember this.
Yeah, and so we're out there playing, and we had Rudy Poshek on the team. We had Mark Bergevin on the team. Jimmy Campbell, myself, Twister. Like, we've got, like, pretty good.
I think I was there with Tim Papps.
Pretty good cast of characters. And, you know, Al's got a brand-new glove that he's kind of been bragging about for the baseball game. And we're like, okay, that's a brand-new glove. But he's pretty excited about us. We're like, hey, that's great. That's great, Chopper. You know, really happy for you. And then Al goes up to bat and whatnot, and Mark Bergevin has a Sharpie. And he's walking around with the glove, and he's, hey, guys, we need to sign this glove for a fan. And so Rudy Poshek is like, okay, grabs it and signs Rudy Poshek, you know. And then Mark Bergy doesn't have anybody else sign it because he wants to see Al's reaction to his new glove being signed and then what he's going to say to Rudy Poshek, who we know is a bit of a killer, right? So Al comes back after, I don't know, maybe scoring a run. We'll say he got a home run. We'll make it nice.
Yeah,
for
sure,
him,
make it
okay?
nice.
Comes in, and we're getting ready to go back out in the field, and Chopper looks at the glove. What the fuck is on my glove? And he looks, he goes, who the fuck signed my glove? And Bergy goes, I don't know. He goes, I saw Rudy with a Sharpie, though. And so Al walks over and, Rudy, what the fuck is this? He goes, oh, we're signing your glove for a fan. He goes, no, it's my glove. I just bought it. So, of course, we start to laugh. And then, obviously, Rudy figures out the joke's on him. And he turns to Al. He's like, oh, sorry. He walks out to the field. So Al McGinnis at that time had a beautiful brand new glove that was signed by Rudy Poshek. And, I will leave the horrible story for another time. It's just, it's nothing bad, nothing bad off ice, but just the situation. Well, I'll tell it now, is that Al made a play on the ice and wasn't happy with it. And he came over to the boards and to smash his stick over the boards. And Darren Turcotte had his hand laying on the boards without his glove on.
Oh.
And so Al chopped his finger and it literally like exploded on the top of the boards. It was in Nashville. And I mean, it ended the game for Turcotte. It was awful, and Chopper himself felt so bad that he didn't even finish the rest of the game. He was felt like such a, you know, not an asshole, but felt bad for it, which you know, it's a horrible story because there's a reaction to it. It just reminded me of an Al McGinnis story of
Lord.
How hard he shoots the puck. Imagine how hard he smashes fingers, you know? So, good thing everybody made it through okay. Everybody's healthy today. So
everybody get along.
Yeah,
everybody's good.
Kumbaya.
Oh, my Lord. I didn't know you were going to go there.
Well, you put me on the spot.
My stomach. I don't know that I can handle that one. Sarah, our friend Sarah, wants a good anything good, best story from the preseason workouts that you ran. Did anything good happen there? Something we might find amusing?
You know.
Favorite memory?
Favorite memory? It was a lot of fun.
Pure work?
Yeah, a lot of fun doing it with these guys, you know, and whenever you get a chance in any sport and any business world to work with the best people in that industry, it's a lot of fun. And these guys worked hard and made my job easy. I mean, you just provide them with some drills and you have them go through it, and they do it at such a high pace that it makes it a lot of fun. They were great. They listened. They weren't jackasses, which I didn't think they would be. So just great experience overall.
Sensational. This will go around the table with this one. Which rookie do you all think will have the biggest impact this season? Kimby, let's start with you.
Where they're hoping, by the looks of where they're standing, I'd say I'm going to go with Kyrou. I just think there's got to be something going on to where they placed him in the lineup. I think he obviously had a good training camp, so you can't complain about that. To fill in that on that spot, if he can get that line going or fit in with that line, that'd be huge.
Butter?
Oh, you're going to have to pass me on this one. I have no background on these rookies yet.
Not enough for you? Nope. All right, we'll go. Pass. I'll go and say I would have to say Kyrou as well. My thing with Kyrou is I know everybody's all enamored with the goal scoring, but what I know is it doesn't really matter what sport it is. Speed kills. I mean, if we watch Blues games in the past, to be quite frank, and we play these other teams, sometimes when things haven't gone so well, what do we typically walk away with? Man, they're fast. We couldn't keep up with it. So, again, now he is obviously been a prolific goal scorer at the lower level. You know, is he a sniper, or is it that he uses his speed to his advantage? And, again, speed plays no matter what you do. So that's going to be it for me. And I would assume, while Thomas obviously has been, what's the word, how do I, described as more of a complete hockey player, that would be where I would go. And, again, I'm not there, but that would make sense for me why Kyrou would be the – and, again, I know what Jamie was saying too. I mean, Thomas is a center, so let him center, right? Why move guys around for no reason? But, again, that would be me. That would be the thing for me is the speed from Kyrou. So I'm curious to see how this plays. Jamie?
I agree with you guys. I think he's done a fantastic job throughout camp, and he's certainly going to be a guy that you notice. I'm going to go with Sammy Blais. I know he's not a rookie. But he's still a rookie because he never stayed full-time, and he only got, a handful of games last year. I just like what I've seen out of him. Once again, you talk about speed. He brings that. He brings size. He brings puck handling ability, and he's certainly a goal scorer. If nothing else, if you want the puck in the back of the net, he can do it. And he's going to get an opportunity on the power play, so will Kyrou. I don't know if Thomas will get that opportunity just yet, just because the power plays are crowded with lots of talent. But yeah, I think you can't go wrong looking at Sammy Blais and Kyrou, and I think Thomas's path this year is going to be a little bit different. I think there's going to be a little more responsibility put on his shoulders, so it might not be as easy to produce. But overall, as a player, he might be the best one by the end of the year, all around.
Yeah, I'm going to look at the team up and down tonight. I'm going to be excited to see the way the guys play together. I'm going to look at the, you know, everything from the back end out, especially with Jake Allen. You know, I look at like a Jordan Kyrou, and I think to me, and I think a lot of Blues fans, what we see here is the possibility of a guy coming in and really being able to put up some numbers if he's given that opportunity. You've liked Sammy Blais since last year. I mean, you kind of brought him to the forefront of the discussion last year. Like, I know we're hearing about it was Kostin last year. Everybody's talking about Kostin. You're like, you know, Sammy Blais can really play. And I think that's where we're at now. On the Kostin note, let's real quick just touch on San Antonio.
That right there, they're going to have a huge advantage because they have their own coaches down there. So the familiarity with the systems, with the players, with everything to do with the St. Louis Blues will be from top to bottom in the organization, which is what they needed. What they've needed probably for the last 4 or 5 years, really, truly, is that kind of a setup. We talk about Klim Kostin. He's just not mature enough as a hockey player. He's got all this skill. He's got all everything you want in a hockey player. Last year was a burn year for him because he didn't have the coaching. He wasn't anybody's primary focus in the minors. You know, they used him on lines, but the team was controlled by another NHL team, so it's not like they spent a ton of time doing video and practice and working on things. So this year, I think, if he goes down there with the right frame of mind, he could be a guy that's up here before the end of the season. If not, I think that his future is bright, but he's really, really, really got to mature between the ears and start to treat the game that's away from the puck as important as the game with the puck. And I think that's the biggest thing for any young guy, but certainly for him right now.
You know, the last thing I'm going to touch on with San Antonio is, you know, when you were looking at the way that this team could be constructed, one of the options obviously was to go with different personnel and start the season with these guys in that scenario. Well, that's not happening. So if you go down to San Antonio right now, I mean, Kostin's probably the biggest prospect down there, really.
Should be.
Yeah, I mean
he should. Either way, even if you send down Blake, Thomas, and Kyrou, he still should have been, you know, getting a ton of ice time.
Sure.
He'd be top six forwards, one of the power play units.
Sure.
Probably try to mix him in on penalty kill once he earns a little bit of trust on that side. But, yeah, I mean, he's going to get a ton of minutes. They surround him with some pretty good players down there. Certainly a lot of speed. That's the number one thing I've noticed in camp is the Blues have a lot more team speed in their young guys. So that team be pretty exciting to watch down there.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting year. I'm looking forward to it. I think St. Louis is ready for this. We're going to have a great evening over for hockey. Our friend Angela Sharp did a little piece today. Did you see that in the Game Time? I guess after 11 seasons, she will not be back with the Blues, so we want to wish her well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she did a great job. Fans, enjoy the arena tonight. We'd like to hear from you as you get into Enterprise Center with all the changes. Lots of cool things coming out, though, with the Blues. Jamie, we got the practice rink coming out. Darren, you're back coaching almost full-time, basically. You're coaching high school hockey again. And not again, you're coaching the high school. Well, you did coach at one other time. I forgot high school.
No, he just went there. And
but his son's playing now.
He finished up a couple of years ago.
Yeah, he finished up high school.
He was a player.
But, so you're coaching high school. You're back coaching traveling
hockey
again.
Had some eligibility left.
3 years.
You know. The new rink's going up here in St. Louis, and again, Jamie, you've done so much youth hockey-wise with Synergy Hockey, and that a lot of great things happening. This is kind of the buzz. You add that with the Blues and everything going on. I mean, this is a perfect storm for them, I would think. As a coach involved in this, do you feel that buzz out there in the community?
Yeah, it's – you know what? And the Blues, it's back, and I always refer to when you go back to when Holly was here. Hockey went crazy.
The Brett Hull boom.
Yeah.
Never had the baby boom, the Brett Hull boom.
So that's for the Blues to get back up into at the top of the, you know, fighting for playoff spots all the time and fighting for Stanley Cups and doing that just makes this city go crazy. And then that's when these rinks, which they've been needed in this town, you get four sheets over. I think they're going to four sheets in the one with the Blues and then the Chesterfield, they're coming out with two. And it's just you need these rinks. It's just – and you see when those even come into play, the one that's sitting out there at the where the Blues are now, that'll still be used. The ice is, you know, there's not a lot around.
Ice is precious. Ice is precious.
And Afton Hockey Association is bringing two sheets to us, hopefully in the near future. I know they're down to some of the fine details, and they already have a location and all that. So, you know, within the next 24 months, we could theoretically have 8 new sheets of ice. For the community, that means a lot.
And you know what? And you got a young team here too, which is, you know, that these fans can grow with, and that's, you know, that's what they want to do. When you know you get true fans that are in this ball game, they get attached to these guys, and they want to walk through this process for like, you know, 8-10 years, and they get attracted to this team. That's why people, you know, with Holly, even though as good as he was, but they just liked to every step of the way they wanted to go with Holly. And you know, when Shanny was here, they wanted to walk that thing, and you know, that's just what they are.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting – I mean, I'm looking forward to it. It's a hockey season. You can feel the air change, and that tells you that it's coming. There's no doubt about it. It's going to be rocking over there tonight, I can only imagine. Kimby's favorite, Winnipeg, is in town. Do we want to make a prediction for this evening? Do we even want to do that or just say
just
great hockey game?
For the season?
Just for the game tonight. Yeah. I mean, it's opening night. What do you think? What are you seeing? You want to go first, Kimby?
Yeah, oh, boy.
I think the Winnipeg's going to come in a team that's been together for a while. You know, they're hitting their peak now. They're, you know, they were there last year. They got to a certain level. Now they lose Stastny. So I don't know what they've really replaced the guy with. So they're going to, you know, on their second line. I don't know what's going on there, but I know they're a big team. They play physical, which will be a good test for the Blues because, you know, the Blues have gone in this direction. How does that all feed into that? So that's what I'll be looking for. So, you know, how does the Blues handle the heavy hitting guys coming in?
No,
and big guys.
Well, no score prediction. You're not going to go on that limb.
Nah, I really it's a tough call on that one. You know, I always go with experience. So you know, and yeah. People after this conversation I had at the start of this rant that I went on, people are going to say, well, he fucking doesn't like the Blues, and that's not true. I'm just saying they got a hell of a team here, but you got a lot of veterans on the other side, and they're big, and there's a heavy game coming to St. Louis. How did they react to that? I don't know that.
See, I'm going to say not. Just to be oppositional, which sometimes I am. But I'm going to say that the Blues have some excitement in their locker room. Winnipeg, like you just said, they got rid of Stastny. They didn't really bring anybody in. They're kind of the same team. So it's not like there's an excitement to get the season going on the road. Like, there's a different feeling, right? The Blues, they have local boy, Patty Maroon. They have O'Reilly, who they've added to the lineup. They've got David Perron coming back to St. Louis, who's excited. But they have Bozak, who wants to impress right away. They have a lot of reasons. Never mind Kyrou, Thomas, yeah. Blais, all these young kids that are foaming at the mouth to show the world what they can do. To me, the energy level in the building should be through the roof. These guys, every guy I just mentioned, should be playing with a little extra jump in their step tonight. I'm predicting a good win for the Blues, like a 4-1 victory. I think they come out flying. I think that they run into a Winnipeg team that's just all too comfortable to be playing regular season hockey games, and this one's just a little bit bigger for the Blues.
You're gonna see one of the best players in the game right now on Winnipeg. That Lane, he's a just
or,
watching
or Line A.
Line A, Lane,
distant relative.
Lane.
It's okay.
There it is. First full season.
Winnipeg's got a lean on their franchise. What?
Butter, do I even need to ask you?
I mean, good.
Butter's expectations for Stanley Cup. Do I even need to ask you?
Butter already has a fucking parade plan.
I was going to say, east to west? Hey, which way are we going?
If you don't shoot for it, you're not going to get
it. Do I even need to ask you your prediction for that? It's probably like a 10-0 victory for Blues tonight, right?
But short game. How many beers are you drinking?
Running clock in the third period.
Oh, shoot. I agree with Rivs. The excitement's going to call this game. So the goaltending's going to be key. So it depends. You know, it's going to come down to that. So it could be a blowout for one of the teams if goaltending doesn't show up.
Boy, so, way to go out on a limb.
Could be. Well, no, I'm just saying.
Kidding, I'm
just
from saying. Hoisting the cup to that
blowout.
Jesus, Butter.
Oh, I'm saying a blowout for us.
Oh, well, you said goaltender. I thought, holy shit, we're back to that now.
Well, it could be a 5-4 game, or it could be a 5-1 game.
All right.
So, in our favor, of course.
Oh, okay. Absolutely. This game's going in our favor.
All right, just making sure here.
Yeah, it's going to be a great evening.
But why when I say blowout, you guys immediately think we're going to get
it? When you said blowout, I immediately thought of Laterra. So, to be honest, I'm just saying. That's where my head went.
Here we go. Well, hey, listen, you guys.
That's where your nose went.
We'll be rolling all season long, as I mentioned earlier, with obviously with Kimby back coaching. Want to thank a great family involved in amateur hockey in St. Louis and always supporting the show, NelsonLandServices.com. Please don't forget to check out NelsonLandServices.com for all of your needs here in the St. Louis area. They're obviously, you know, well positioned in the Lake of the Ozark area, and you've seen some of their fine work. But if you're looking for landscaping work, if you're looking for anything to do, especially if you're a business, you have multiple locations, they're here for your needs. NelsonLandServices.com, one of the great families involved in amateur hockey here in St. Louis. So many people know them and can't say enough great things about them and their work ethic. And, again, just tremendous people. Very, very excited to have them a part of the show again this year. Of course, you heard me mention InnovativeCompanies.com, residential, commercial, industrial. Doesn't matter. They've got you covered. They have the plumbing team now available for what you need. Again, Randy's a tremendous guy, big fan of the Blues, loves both these guys here in the room and is happy to support the show. And we thank him, obviously, for all of his contributions. Adam Smokehouse over on Watson Road. It's not just for lunch anymore. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. Get your barbecue, guys. It's tremendous. I know I've talked to both the guys here. Butter, Hens. I mean, we're just going to head over there one day, have some barbecue. I know Mike's invited us over. We're going to come to you with a little Facebook Live segment that day. And I'm sure I won't have to beg twice to get these guys over there to have some tremendous barbecue. But that'll lead us now into to a segment here with our good friend live from Minner Arena. Let's hear what he has for us.
Hey, thanks, guys. This is Dennis Minner live from Minner Arena. Follow me on Twitter at Minner Arena, and I am brought to you by the one and only Adams Smokehouse, the best barbecue here in St. Louis. And hey, they are celebrating their 5th anniversary coming up here on October 9th. And right now, you can go in there the rest of this week and over the weekend, and anything you purchase, you're going to be put into a raffle where one of the incredible prizes is having a watch party in Minner Arena with free food from Adams Smokehouse. We are proud to be sponsored and brought to you by them, so go check them out. Also on Twitter, at Adams Smokehouse. Cannot believe it. Christmas has arrived. Blues hockey starts today. If you aren't excited, there is no possible way you bleed blue. Just the incredible efforts that I think the ownership and, yes, even Armstrong has done for this team during this offseason with the arena updates, with O'Reilly, Maroon, Bozak, three-time Perron. We are literally going into our first game tonight with unbelievable four lines that can score and do some damage and put some things on the board. It's crazy. I mean, we've got Barbie, Thomas, Blake coming in on that fourth line. Incredible speed, depth, solid four lines. I was really excited, but I, you know, it's always we've got to have that one shot at Army, right? Army on Allen this week, he said, "We all know that position's very important. We've seen really good things from Jake mentally over the summer, how he prepared. He came in with a little bit of an injury, but when he's played, he's looked fantastic. It is what it is. He's got a job to do." Come on. You know, give us a little bit of vote of confidence for Allen. I know, guys, it doesn't matter what Allen does tonight. People on Twitter are going to implode. Whether he allows no goals in or 100 goals in, it's going to be the same. There's still this love-hate relationship with Allen. I would have loved to have heard Army come out and just say, "Hey, Allen has had his ups and downs. He's a bit banged up, but that's all behind us. He's our man, and he will get the job done." And that's it. I think we're going to see Allen come out tonight, and I really believe we're going to see him in just top form. He's a player that plays with his confidence. If his confidence is low, it is seen instantly. But, man, with the guys that are going to be out there in front of him helping protect that net, I really have to think that, you know, his confidence is going to be up there. Hey, so let's jump into this. Just remember, especially Kimby and Rivers, when you hear this, this is from a fan's perspective. I'm watching Twitter since all this deal has gone on with this Wilson hit, and I'm sure before my segment right now, the guys have been just kind of imploding about this. And I hope I don't take too much heat, but I'm glad. I'm glad to see the NHL put some hammer down on Wilson for that 20 games. My reasoning on it, look, if it would have been, let's say, Maroon or Reeves back in the day hitting someone like that, there would have been a little bit of giddiness in me. I'm not going to lie. But look, this was in a preseason game. The hit was absolutely pointless. It was not needed. He had plenty of time to lower that shoulder and not hit him in the head. Yeah, I know they were both going fast and coming at each other, but I don't know. I just I think 20 games was fair, especially with his extreme history. I mean, come on. Wilson's got four suspensions now in the last 13 months. It's a little bit ridiculous, but when you're out in a preseason game with a bunch of young Blues players, most of them looking for a roster spot, there's just no need in it. I'm sorry, but as a fan of hockey, there's no need in it. I'm sitting here saying this, that I'm against it. At the same time, I would love to see Wilson wearing a blue note and having that protection for our guys. But being on the other side, I think there's a time and a place for hard hits. And man, there was no need in it. Side note, I reached out to Lou Koric with help from Twitter follower Meerpat, and I was asking him about the longest suspension. And can't believe I had forgot about this. Just here a few years ago, Rafi Torres hit Sharks forward Silverberg was suspended 41 games. Guess what? It was a preseason game. So there you go. Preseason game, shot to the head, 41 games. So, you know, take it for what it is. Cannot wait to be at the game tonight. Really, really excited. Don't forget, go check out Adam's Smokehouse this weekend, some of the best barbecue in St. Louis, and get signed up for that raffle to win a watch party here in Minner Arena. And until then, let's go Blues!
Good stuff as always. We appreciate Dennis and his contributions to the show. You know, he's really proud of his man cave, as he should be. I think we'd all like to have one in our basement. And Dennis does a good job with fans everywhere, and we want to thank him for his contribution with his opinion. Again, we know it doesn't always fit in with ours, but that's fine. Everybody can have your own opinion. You're welcome to it. As I always say, check us out to happy to have you a part of our social media experience. That's at STL Blues Podcast on Twitter. If you're a Blues fan and you follow us, we're going to follow you back. Facebook as well is our big push this year, guys. Find us. Simply type in Blues NHL Podcast, like our Facebook page. Click invite your friends. We'd love to have them all part of the conversations as well. Doing something a little new this year, doing some contests. Shows come out on Mondays and Thursday evenings. If you'll share that pinned post in an effort to help us reach more Blues fans, we're going to be giving away some cool prizes this year. So love to have you guys involved in those posts. Comment, like, share. That's how we're going to grow our community. Blues NHL Podcast on Instagram as well. We're now part of lineupmedia.fm Yo Radio. Download that in the App Store on your phone. You'll enjoy it. It's a great streaming platform for music and all things media. Check it out. It's a great way to stay in tune with what's going on. For sure, leave them a review. Those guys have worked really hard, and they deserve it. You can find us at stlbluespodcast.com. Again, happy to have everybody a part of the show, and these guys, tremendous at what they do. Jamie, I know you're on a whirlwind tour today.
Yes, sir.
I don't know how you fit it all in because Synergy Hockey needs you, as it always does. You're going to be radio, TV, blowing it out today, got the podcast. What's going on over at Synergy Hockey before you go?
Well, mentioned before, we're into our small group training right now. Sundays are sold out. We still have some availability in Afton on Thursday mornings and at Brentwood Ice Rink on Tuesday mornings. So get onto the website, synergyhockeyskills.com, click on small group training, and sign your player up for either Brentwood or Afton before these spots are gone.
Looks like Kimby's done some small group training. I mean, he has shrunk.
Well,
in playing shape. You are. You're in playing shape. I bet your golf game's tremendous.
You know what happens, though, with poor Kimby, right?
Is poor Kimby.
The body shrinks.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Something else doesn't.
I knew this was coming.
Right?
Yeah.
So, well, I thought he may have had an above-average cranium before. But with him fading away to nothing, cranium. I mean, that thing looks like a full moon. I mean, my God. It's pretty to look at, though, Kimby. I love it.
Did you watch opening night last night? Washington, don't you get butterflies when you see that kind of shit?
I do.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
I thought that was pretty neat. I wish they would have showed something about Trotz on there. I think that,
yeah. Yeah, that's sad. A tough one,
yeah,
right?
It is a tough one.
It's a manager.
But I thought, I just like when they play the song and they get the video on that. That's just, you know, you just, that was your goal to go down that, to go down to that road, but just to see that just gets you hair.
I was going to say, for you guys, you know, last thing I'll say, you know, I know we were wrapping up, but I know fans love this sort of stuff. For you guys, you know, the Stanley Cup is it, right? I mean, I'm playing in the league is, I mean, it's for anybody that has the aspirations of doing it, once you get there, it's like so far off, and then you get there, then it becomes, you know, it's probably like most things, right? Try to find a way into the lineup, try to find a way to stay in the lineup, you know, be a part of something. But then, man, it, in the back of your mind, you guys especially, that's how you grew up. I mean, I, again, I, you said butterflies. I mean, is that
What goes through your mind?
You know, I just when you're watching that though, and you just obviously you wish you could have done that at one time. I wish I could have done it once anyway. I never did had the chance to do that. But when I was watching last night, and it just you know you just like I said, your stomach gets going, you get the little your hair starts standing up. But when I watched at the very end, when Ovi after the summer that he had with that cup, you know, and sure. all the things that went on, and he goes to put it in the box yeah. and he kisses it and puts it away. Yeah. It was just sort of. That was just sort of a you could write a movie on that one. That was pretty neat what happened there.
Well, to see what happened with that team once they won the cup and they went you know hog wild with it as they
yeah,
should,
was which no was proper.
Which was really a lot of fun yeah, to watch sure. that. Okay, yep. And then to have the summer that they've had and everybody talking about hangover and what will this team look like, blah blah blah. So for Ovi to go over there, like you said, kiss the cup, put it away, and then they score like a minute into the game. It's like that shit doesn't happen usually. No. Usually those games you end up losing yeah. because your thoughts are still like in the past or whatever, or you're still kind of trying to get your shit together. No, they came out against the Boston Bruins, which is a damn good hockey good team, and they blew the wheels off them. So, I mean... I don't know. That team has something special.
Their little chant was back-to-back, right?
Yeah.
And that's the first I'd heard of that. I didn't hear that when they did the story and they go back-to-back, and I'm sitting there saying to myself, I don't think that's going to happen, guys. I'm just saying that to myself. I said, yeah. You know, you had a hell of a run. I don't see it happening. And then they go out and do that, and I go, uh-oh, what's going on here?
And they've added Dmitry Yashkin.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
He was on the bench last night. You see him?
I guess we'll... That's a great way to end the show, I guess. Holy
I
mo-
wanted Kimby's temperature to be elevated as he walks
oh,
out
man.
Of here.
Look at it. Look at, he's already red.
He pulls him down.
Hey, he started off way up here. He way brought it down here. For content purposes, and yeah. now you've got him back
way
up here.
Up
again.
There. Up there in the car. Like,
I yeah. love it. Hey, you know what? And again, Butter brought it up, too, and Kimby mentioned it, and Butter was upset about him bringing up the Blackhawks. Calm down, Butter. It's okay. You know the one name we just went through a whole Blues podcast and didn't mention one name.
I know the name.
What name didn't we mention today, Kimby?
Not the guy in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Oh, the guy in Buffalo.
The B word.
I still didn't mention it.
you refused to. I like
the B word.
Oh, man.
Well, don't worry. I
was going to say it's a long season.
Hakuna Matata.
We won't.
It's a long season.
I don't want Kimby's day to be bad here, so we won't bring up Berglund.
We won't. You have a nice ride home. Hey, for all of us here at Blues NHL Podcast, again, we want to thank you for inviting us into your head, much less your earways. But again, thanks for joining us. We will see you on Monday. Let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.